sun went down and the jungle fire was burning. Down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains."
Hey there, you're listening to The Boredom Experiment.
There's a land this is a podcast
made by your hosts.
We are a family of five who own no TV and left social media over a year ago to live with more intention.
My name is Jeremy.
And I'm Ashley.
I'm Micah. Hi, I'm Tyler.
And I'm John. And this is The Boredom Experiment. All the cops
have wooden walls. Beautiful!
Can we hear it?
The farmer's trees are full of fruit, and the barns are full of hay. Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall, the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
We moved a few months ago. We packed up a giant U-Haul and drove our belongings about 20 minutes outside of the city, and we settled into a new place.
I'm going through changes now.
It's an old home with 130-year-old bones, a charming small-town historic neighborhood. And when I say charming and historic, I mean it. It's the kind of place with a town square in walking distance of our front porch.
There's many reasons we are what we've become. I'm going through changes, ripping out pages. I'm going through changes now.
It's the kind of place with a cemetery close by and headstones dating back to people born in the 1700s. It's the kind of place where our boys get on bikes and ride to the neighborhood baseball diamond, and where there's a community pool with lifeguards in red swimsuits.
But I knew it once, but I forgot.
I guess my point is, it's the kind of place we're really happy to call home. Don't get me wrong, we loved the city, but we really love having a little plot of land all to ourselves. We've loved raising chickens from the point when they were chicks. Turns out we've got a rooster. And we've especially loved watching our boys be able to be free and be kids again. I guess you could say life is a lot more simple out here. We watched The Sandlot the other night.
This magic moment.
We have no TV, but once a month or so is family movie night. Jeremy makes popcorn on the stove, and we all gather around our small laptop computer and watch something together from the couch. It sounds pathetic, but it's actually pretty fun. Last month's movie was The Sandlot. Watching it, I couldn't help but feel like we had somehow stepped into a movie set in our new small town. Hot summer days with nothing to do but play, and a pool with lifeguards in red swimsuits, an ode to Wendy Peppercorn.
This magic moment, while your lips.
We've been going to the pool a lot, almost every day, and all of a sudden, we're not at the movies anymore because everywhere I look, including in the water, I see cell phones.
You used to call me on my. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need.
At first, I start getting really judgy about all the kids. Kids these days, you know? Teenagers sitting around in a group, but all of them on their cell phones. Nobody's wet, even though it's 100 degrees out. They don't want to cool themselves down. They just came to sit around and be seen in their new bikinis and get on their phones? I don't understand. Then I see kids in the water with a smartphone that has a funny case on it, and they're doing all of these selfie videos over and over, going underwater, coming back up and laughing, going under with the phone, coming back up. 'Cause ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor, hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. I couldn't help but just watch and notice what was happening. And of course, as fate would have it, one of the lifeguards was sitting next to me on her break, reading a book, and she initiated a conversation with me. She said something about how well-behaved our kids are and how wonderful it is for her to watch our family interact, that we're really rare these days, and how much she appreciated that herself because she sees a lot of stuff happen here at the pool. So, of course, being me, I decided to seize the opportunity and ask her some questions. And let me just say, she was an absolute delight. I loved spending this time talking to this gal. But just because of some of what she shared, I've decided not to share a couple of details. First, her name, and second, where she goes to school. In order just to protect her identity, I'm going to call her the lifeguard.
I'm 17, and this is my first year as a lifeguard.
I asked her if they're allowed to have their smartphones when they're lifeguarding. She said no. I asked her if most of the lifeguards had smartphones. She said yes, all of them.
So is it kind of, like, what's the culture like when you see people get down from their posts? Do you feel like they all have to go straight to checking their phones?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what's that about?
Well, we have a certain rotation where it's considered baby pool, but it's really our break for 30 minutes. So most people will go get their phones and just, like, sit
here. So it's considered baby pool, but you don't actually, like, go to the baby pool, right?
Right.
Okay.
Once we go to that stand over there, we walk around and make sure we do, like, a bottom scan to make sure, like, no one's on the bottom.
That's nice.
And then we go and get in that stand and start the rotation all over again.
Wow.
But, yeah, most people go and get their phones and just, like, sit scrolling through. But I actually read. I have a huge fascination with history and presidents and politics, and I don't know why, because I'm only a 17-year-old girl, you know, but
That's awesome.
I read this while I'm on break. Most of us will kind of go for a swim because it's so hot, mm-hmm. and then they'll, like, get on their phones and just kind of, they won't talk to anyone the whole 30 minutes, and I think that's ridiculous. I mean, sure, you can check your phone to see if you have, like, a message or something, but I wouldn't spend my whole time on my phone. I'd rather, like, kind of be outside and not have to watch people, you know?
I asked her honest opinion on the teenagers I saw, the ones who come and don't get in the water and don't really talk but sit together on their phones.
I think it's really stupid. I mean, why would you just waste your day on your phone? And that causes so much drama. Like, still being in high school, I know all about the drama. I mean, especially being a girl in high school. And I mean, I go to kind of a bigger school from around here, and everyone at my school hates each other. And it's all because of social media. I mean, people aren't afraid to post whatever they want on there. I mean, they wouldn't say it to their face, but they post whatever they want, and it causes so much drama. And I just don't understand that. Like, why would you waste your time doing that? Why would you be so unhappy being on social media when you can be off and just go enjoy the day? I mean, that's so ridiculous.
I ask her about the drama, why she thinks it's easier for kids to be mean than to be nice.
They're afraid. I mean, they don't want... I mean, I've seen a lot of cases where they'll post something, like someone will call someone out, and they'll be like, okay, well, do you want to fight me then, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh, why is this happening, you know? And then, but, I mean, nothing ever happens because they, like, delete everything, and, like, so there's no evidence.
Oh, wow.
We have a strict no cyberbullying policy at our school.
Okay.
And if you take your phone to the principal and show them what happened, what was said, the person will get in trouble.
Okay.
And will get mostly probably out of school suspension.
Okay.
But that person would never say that thing to your face.
Never.
It reminds me of Louis C.K. on Conan, when he talks about the reality of the things kids say that they would never say to each other's faces because they see the reaction and the hurt it causes. But it's so easy to text.
Some parents really struggle with, like, all the other kids have the terrible thing, so my kid has to... Yeah, let your kid go and be a better example to the kids. Just because the other stupid kids have phones doesn't mean that, okay, well, my kid has to be stupid, otherwise she'll feel weird.
Right.
You know, I think these things are toxic. I don't think they, especially for kids. It's just this thing. It's bad. And right. they don't look at people when they talk to them, and they don't build the empathy. You know, kids are mean, and it's because they're trying it out. They look at a kid and they go, you're fat. And then they see the kid's face scrunch up and they go, ooh, that doesn't feel good to make a person do that.
Right.
But they got to start with doing the mean thing. But when they write you're fat, then they just go, that was fun. I like that.
You should just be yourself. Right now you're someone else. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love, call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love, and I know when that hotline bling.
A lot of girls are very petty, and including boys. You know, you have to watch what you say on, like, texting wise and stuff, because you don't know how the other person will take it. It can be said so many different ways. Like, I do that all the time, where someone will say something, and I'm like, oh, is that supposed to be sarcastic, mean, I mean, funny? What was that, you know? And it's so hard, and it gives me such anxiety, and other girls too, you know? Like, why would you say that? Because you don't know how I'm going to take it.
Okay, hit pause for a second. This reminds me of a Key and Peele video. If you guys haven't seen it, you have to look it up right now. It's called Key and Peele Text Message Confusion on YouTube.
I've been trying to reach out to you all day. Are we on for tonight? Jeez.
What? You can't catch me. You can't catch me. I'm Lance Moore. Touchdown, bitch. What? Pause. Shoot. Keegan's been texting me. Sorry, dude. Missed your texts. I assumed we'd meet at the bar. Whatever. I don't care.
Sorry, dude. Missed your texts. I assumed we'd meet at the bar. Whatever. I don't care. Whatever. I don't care.
I'd share it with you myself, but there's a lot of swear words, and I don't know how to make the beep noise yet. Beep. Except like that. It doesn't work. The skit basically shows two friends texting back and forth. One of them, already having a bad day, implies that everything the other one's saying is completely with a selfish and cruel agenda. The other one's just kind of chilling out, feeling happy, feeling good about life, and everything that he's saying is misconstrued. Oh my gosh, this is such a thing, right?
And it's not just teenagers, it's parents too. A lot of times when parents come here, they just sit on their phones and their kids will swim. A lot of times we've had kids start drowning and their parents don't even notice. So we have to get off the stand and go rescue them and they don't even know. It's ridiculous. A lot of kids will come like without floaties or a life jacket that can't swim. And they'll be even in the baby pool and they'll be like not even 3 foot and they'll just start like drowning and the parents aren't even watching. Or, like, the other day, a kid came out here, and she could barely swim. And so I didn't get off stand because her mom kept yelling at her. But then I was like, well, maybe if you get off your phone and notice your child, then they should not be in this pool, be in a pool where they can actually touch. Then this wouldn't happen. You would have to yell at them.
I tell her how major I think this is, especially as a parent of kids who someday are going to want to own phones, and someday we'll probably have to let them own phones. I tell her that I really don't feel comfortable with something that can grab your attention that easily and that wholly, and also they're driving at that point. Which brings up a part of her story she hasn't told me yet.
Actually, I got in a really bad car accident about a month ago, and it turns out the lady who hit me was on her phone, and she was 31.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I was the third car back in a red light, and it turned green and we were going, and I just see the silver thing out of the corner of my eye, and she hit me, like me, actually, and spun me around to hit on traffic, and it was just an intersection I go to every day to go to my friend's house. And we were just gonna practice prom makeup. Like, it was so simple, and that happened, and I had to go to the hospital, and it was all because she was on her phone not paying attention.
I don't know what this does to you, but after I talked to the lifeguard, I decided I wasn't going to drive with my phone in my lap anymore. I decided my phone was going to be somewhere in the car where I can't reach it, that my ringer was going to be off so that I can't get to it or be tempted to get to it if someone sends me a text message. When you talk with someone like the lifeguard, all of a sudden you're reminded, oh yeah, this is what human life is worth. This is what we're supposed to be doing here. And why does it take that? Isn't summer just supposed to be a time when kids can drive around with their friends, or get on their bikes and go to the baseball diamond, or go to the pool and have a crush on the lifeguard? Except now, there's cell phones everywhere, and that lifeguard almost lost her life last month on her way to do prom makeup. Breakable, breakable, breakable.
It wasn't really the pool honeys like we said, because if any one of them had come up to any one of us, we'd have just peed our pants. We all went because Wendy Peppercorn was the lifeguard.
Every episode of The Boredom Experiment is made with a lot of joy in the Shasta trailer on our little plot of land near Kansas City, Missouri.
You make our podcast a lot better when you share your story, too.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
I've swum here every summer in my adult life. Every summer, there she is. Oiling, oiling, oiling.
And one day, it became too much.
Smiling.
For Michael Squints Polidorus.
I can't take this no more. Move!
And he did. The most desperate thing any of us had ever seen.
As always, we want to hear from you.
Just write hello@weareattheparsons.com and we will write you back.
Also, the Boredom Experiment now has a phone number. Just call 816 343
8298 and leave a message with your name, phone number, and what you'd like to share.
Our warm and earnest thank you goes out to the lifeguard for being one of the most honest and brave 17-year-olds I've ever met and spoken with. To our boys for helping us record this madness. And of course, to you for listening.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. While your lips are close to
mine, last forever. Oh, hey, did you plan that?
Of course I did. Been planning it for years.
You guys didn't plan that. You know what you were doing.
Michael Squints Polydorus walked a little taller that day, and we had to tip our hats to him. He was lucky she hadn't beat the crap out of him. We wouldn't have blamed her. What he'd done was sneaky, rotten, and low. And cool. Not another one among us would have ever in a million years, even for $1 million, had the guts to put the move on the lifeguard. He did. He had kissed a woman, and he had kissed her long and good. We got banned from the pool forever that day, but every time we walked by after that, the lifeguard looked down from her tower, right over at Squints, and smiled.
While your lips are close to mine, forever, forever.